This morning, we're going to be beginning a new series, and it's called I Am a Witness. I Am a Witness. And today, we're going to talk about talk it. There's something to talk about our witness. Next week is walk it. There's an insert in your bulletin just to give you an idea of where we're going with this series. And then the third Sunday will be don't balk it. Don't balk it. You know how you balk? You go to do it and you don't do it. And sadly, I have balked it over the years, and I'm sure you have at times, our witness. So we're going to trust that the Lord will really help us and show us how to be better witnesses for Him through these 3 weeks. So we're going to launch right into this morning and start. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord is telling His disciples right at His point of ascension into heaven, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now again, in your bulletin, there'll be a fill-in sheet. You can take this out, fill it in, be able to take some of these notes and thoughts home with you. So your first fill-in is this. We are all God's witnesses. Good or bad, you're it. Good or bad, you're it. You know, if I was to ask the question, how many here are witnesses for the Lord? Well, some of you would say, well, I don't think I witness much, so you maybe wouldn't put your hand up. Others might put their hand up more readily. But here's the point. If we're Christians, and we've received His Holy Spirit, and He's regenerated us, you are a witness. You are a witness. Your life is a witness. You are the witness. Now the question is, are you a good witness or a bad witness? But good or bad, we're it. This is what the Lord has left. When He ascended into the heaven, He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He told us to go and to preach the gospel. We are His witnesses. You are His witnesses. And so the matter is, are you a good witness or a bad witness? Now, I trust and I'm praying that as the result of this message series, I will be a better witness, that you will be a better witness, that collectively we as a church will be better witnesses because the Lord has given us His Spirit. And the reason it says He's given it to us is that we would have a power within us in order to witness. So the question is, are you filled with the Spirit? And are you excited about witnessing? Are you excited about it? Now, a polling company did a survey of people that have gone to restaurants. And they found this. People that had visited a restaurant, and then they were asked to gauge the restaurant on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being, well, not too good. 5 being, man, this was excellent. And they were to rate the restaurant 1 to 5. Here's what they found. People that rated the restaurant 1, 2, or 3 told no one about the restaurant. But people that rated the restaurant 4 or 5, that they told 24 people within the next 24 hours about the restaurant. Now that is amazing. A 1, 2, or 3 experience at a restaurant, people said nothing. But if it was a 4 or 5, they told a lot of people, on an average of 1 per hour, about the restaurant they'd just been to. You should hear about the restaurant over there. I was over there. The food was great, or this, and they tell you something about it. No one was paying them to do it. No one was preaching to them on Sunday morning, you go tell people about that restaurant. It's good food. They just did it because it was a 4 or 5. They were excited about it. It satisfied them. They wanted to go again. Now, here's our question, folks, and this is a deep one. If we're not telling anybody about the Lord, does it tell us something about our satisfaction level with the Lord? Does it tell us something about our own personal experience with the Lord? If your experience with the Lord is a 1, 2, or 3, and 3 isn't that bad, we'd say a 3 is average, sort of in the middle there. The restaurant goers didn't tell anybody with a 3. And the first aspect of this, if we're going to be witnesses, excitedly telling other people about the Lord, we have to first have this experience with the Holy Spirit that's spoken about here. They knew the facts. Jesus had spent 40 days with his disciples telling them things that says pertaining to the kingdom of God. They knew the facts, but he said, don't go yet, don't go yet. He knew that there wouldn't be an excitement. There wouldn't be an experience. It would only be head knowledge they'd be sharing. He said, no, you go wait. You wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And when it did, it was a relationship. It was an experience that caused them then to be excited and go out and tell everybody about the Lord. And so the very first thing I think we need to consider when we want to be witnesses and realize, am I a good witness or a bad witness, is to ask yourself, am I really living in relationship with Jesus? Or am I just a church goer? Just someone that, if asked in question, would say, yes, I'm a Christian. But really, as far as your personal life, your work life, your family, your marriage, raising kids, how you handle your money, you're not really seeing that God has anything to do with that. But I'll try to go to church on Sunday. Then you probably won't be too excited about sharing. Religious people don't share. It's people that have an experience. And I tell you, when you experience the Lord, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He satisfies our soul. But sometimes we are satisfied, we just haven't stirred it up. We used to sing a song when I was growing up in church. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. But you got to think about it. You have to let your mind dwell on this. The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things the earth. So it's something that you need to be focused upon the Lord and live in this realm of the Holy Spirit. He has poured his Spirit out upon us. He wants us to have a relationship. And so I think the very first core issue when we want to be a witness is saying, how close am I living to the Lord? How much of a reality and impact does he have in my life? And one of the truths that really touched me when I was a teenager was the thought that I can draw as close to the Lord as I want. There's no limitation on God's part that says, you know what, so far, that's enough. This part, okay, you can get closer to me. But you got to stay back. You know, I remember as a teenager thinking, you know what, there's no limitation of how close I can get to the Lord. There's no limitation how much I can know him. It's not God, it's only my part of pressing in, knowing him more. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. You hunger and thirst after this, you will have the reality. And the more you experience it, the more you'll want to tell other people about it. Here's our second fill-in on your sheet. The most effective witness is a loving service plus the mention of his name. A loving service plus the mention of his name. Matthew 10:42 says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So a witness, in this case, in the scripture, is giving the cup of water. In other words, doing something for someone, an act of service for someone, and that's the most simple one you can imagine. Can get more and more elaborate. But to give a cup of water, but not just alone. in his name. A witness is when you do something for someone, you do a loving service for someone, out of love and compassion for someone, but you also mention his name. Now, this is something that I discovered years ago, right after, actually close to 40 years ago, because it was right after we started the church. I was new to the city. I was driving up the Conestoga Expressway. Actually, it was in back 40 years ago, the expressway going up to Waterloo. I was driving up. I saw this car over in the side of the road with a flat tire. And I pulled over, and it was a lady. And she said, "I don't know what to do. My tire got flattened." So I took her keys. I opened her trunk. I took out the tire. I changed the tire for her. And she was so appreciative. She thanked me so much. "Oh, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough for what you've done." And I said, "It's okay. It's okay." And I said goodbye to her. And as I drove away, I felt grieved. I had done this act of service for her, but I'd never mentioned the name of the Lord. I never shared at all anything about why I was doing it. And my motivation was, I know the Lord wants us to be servants. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to care for other people. He wants to put other people before ourselves. That was my motivation, but I never mentioned it to her. And I determined at that moment, I'll never do that again. Because I felt almost like the Spirit was grieved. I didn't mean it, but she was giving me a lot of praise. And even in my heart, I realized it wasn't me, but I never mentioned the Lord's name. Now, that is a tremendous clue. Now, folks, this is a key issue in this message this morning about how to witness for the Lord. Many of us don't witness for the Lord because we think it's too hard. I don't know how to tell about Jesus on the cross. I don't know how to talk about Jesus dying for my sins. I don't know how to get into a conversation like that with someone. And we think that we got to tell the whole story of the Lord or I haven't witnessed. Now, this is the thing we really need to see, folks. You don't have to tell the whole story in order to be a witness. There may come times when you will have opportunity to tell the whole story. But it may be because 10 other people have told part of the story earlier and you just caught them at the right moment. But we need to do acts of service, which I think most of us do. If we serve the Lord at all, we do go the extra mile for people. We do acts of kindness. But what we many times do is not link it with his name. And that's what we need to do. We need to mention his name. Give the cup of water in the name of the Lord. So when you are in a restaurant, in a store, and the clerk gives you too much change, if you're a Christian, you don't just pocket it and thank the Lord for it. Let's clear that up right now. You got that extra dollar in change and you didn't deserve it. And I've been out in the car and realized it for a lot less than a dollar and trudged back in because your conscience touches you and you say, "I think you gave me too much change." I remember going back and saying, "I think you made the wrong change." You said, "Oh no, I gave you the right change." And I said, no, you gave me too much change. What? What? You came back to give me money? Now, here's the point. That's where you need to mention his name. How many, that's happened, I would say, to the majority of at some point. And someone has said, "Well, you're an honest person." I've had that said to me different times. "Well, you're an honest person. It's rare to see an honest person bring some money back." And that's the point you need to say, "Well, you know what? I'm not sure I'm not that honest. But you know, I follow Christ. And he's taught me to have integrity. And I've seen the value of walking in integrity." That is so simple, so easy. But you mentioned his name. You mentioned his name. you're in another situation where maybe, you know, you're an airline counter. It's happened to me. And the flight was canceled, and so many people up there, and you just see them getting so angry at the person at the counter, as if they were the one that canceled the flight. And you hear them arguing, and I've had the opportunity to go up and talk softly to the person, and I've had people say, "Well, I'm so glad you're not angry like the others." Or any kind of situation where maybe someone compliments you on something. Mention his name. Say, "You know what? I can get angry too, but you know, I'm a follower of Christ. And he's taught me to control my anger. And he's given me a peace in situations because I realize he works all things together for good." That's a witness. That's being a good witness. Can you imagine what would happen if every Christian mentioned his name every time they got a compliment? That's not so hard. That's not a witness that, "Oh, no, I got a witness, I got a witness, I got a witness." Now, folks, listen to me. Last week, the gentleman that was here from India, and I'm not sure it was he or whether it was Jeremy, the man that introduced him. Remember the man here from India last week? And he made the challenge. How many today, by the end of this day, will give a witness for Christ? Now, I'm like the rest of you. I'm sitting over here. I'm a pastor of the church. I hope you weren't watching, but I didn't put my hand up. I'm thinking, well, who am I going to see? I'm making a commitment. I'm going to witness for Christ. See, even knowing some of this message, because immediately went to my mind, how do I engage someone? How do I tell them about Jesus? How do I, you know, ask them, "Do you want to accept the Lord? Do you want to pray the sinner's prayer with me?" See, we immediately go to witnesses, telling the whole story and asking them to accept Christ. And most of us say, "Man, do that every day? That would be tough." But what I'm sharing with you, it's not really hard. All you have to do is do acts of service, care for people, and even if they don't ask you why you're doing it, you volunteer that it's the Lord. And I learned this, and I shared this back a couple years ago when we were coming back, and you know, I was getting the gas station. I'm coming back from the States. We're at the border. I'm filling up the car with American gasoline. Come out, and a man asked me for money. And I won't go into the whole story, but I really had felt that was an answer to prayer because I'd been praying, "Lord, help me to help someone today." And so he said, "Can you help me?" Well, sometimes, even ask yourself, what do we do at that point? Well, I don't know what they're going to use it for. They might just buy alcohol or, you know, drugs of some sort. So I'm not going to give them money. Well, listen, we need to get over that. Because you know what you can do for a dollar? Give them a dollar. And this is what I said to this man. I said, "I'll help you, but I'm going to help you in this way. I feel the Lord wants me to help you." Now listen, if someone's asked you for money, they're not going to say, "Don't talk to me about the Lord," especially when you got a buck or two in your hand. He was all ears. I said, "You know what?" I said, "I want you to know that whenever you need help, if you cry out to the Lord, he will help you. I'm here helping you, giving you a couple of dollars. But I said, there's a God in heaven that if you sincerely in your heart ask him to help you, he'll reveal himself to you and he will help you. He will show himself to you." I got back in the car because when I looked over his shoulder, I saw that there was a wine shop across the road. Immediately in my mind, I thought, you know, he's probably just going to go across the road and buy some, you know, because he was sort of looked like that type of guy. But I thought as I got in the car, it was worth the buck or two just to tell him about Jesus. Would I give a buck or two to be able to tell someone about Jesus? Is that important? Sure I would. I could have talked to him for 5 or 10 minutes. He was a captive audience. I did my best to tell them about Jesus. See, what I'm trying to do is just tell you there, it is so easy to witness if you just realize it's an act of service and mention his name. Just mention his name. We can all do this. So just, it requires though a new mindset. You really have to have a different mindset. You have to be intentional about this. Now, let's go on. The next fill-in is, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. See, when we were to put on the armor of God, it says the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and so forth. And then it goes on and said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation. So every day when you get up, you're to put on this spiritual armor as you go about your day's activity. And part of it is to put shoes on that is called the preparation of the gospel of peace. I just think it simply means this. Every day you go out, be prepared to share the gospel. Be prepared to share the gospel. Prepared. Prepared is the key word here. Prepared to share the gospel. Not to be, well, if it happens, if someone slaps me in the face, I really have an opportunity, I will. The door sort of hits me in the face. If there's an open door, I'll walk in. But no, you're intentional. You're prepared. You're going about your activity. Wherever your feet takes you that day, you are prepared to do an act of service and mention his name. It's a mindset. You're prepared. Are you prepared? Do we have this mindset? Do you pray about it every day? Prayer is the key here. This is a prayer armor that they put on. If you read it in Ephesians 6, that we're to put this on and then pray. So as you go forward, you're praying, God, give me an opportunity today to share your name. And it just starts with simple acts and connecting it to the Lord. But are we doing it every day? Are you asking the Lord to be prepared? Now, you need to be prepared. Here's your next fill-in. Be prepared for three stories. Be prepared for three stories. If 1 Peter 3:15 starts this way, and we're going to get the rest of this verse later, but it starts this way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. Sanctify the Lord in your heart and always be ready. Now, we'll go on and share the rest, but I just want to use this first part. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? When something was sanctified, it meant it was taken from its normal use and set aside for spiritual use. So if vessels were sanctified for the temple, the vessel that you'd normally just draw water with was now, no, this was sanctified. This is now the vessel of the Lord. When they sanctified a tent, it was no longer a tent. It was the tent of the Lord. This is a vessel of the Lord. Sanctified was to be set aside for the Lord. Now, here's what you need to do. Have we sanctified the Lord in our heart? So that when you get up every morning to go about your activities, you realize, yes, I have to go to the bank, and yes, I have to go to the grocery store, or yes, I have to go to the office, or yes, I have to go to the job, and yes, I've got to do these activities all day, but your heart's sanctified. Your body is out in the world doing things, but your heart is sanctified for the Lord. You realize, I have a calling. I'm to be a witness. And so my witness is today. That's the most important thing. My heart set aside for the Lord. So I don't get caught up with things. I'm not getting distressed over matters. I'm not concerned overly about, well, Jesus said, the cares of this life. What you'll eat, what you'll wear, what you'll put on. We have to be concerned enough that we take care of those issues, but they're not obsessions with us. But that's not the heart. That's not where our heart's at. Our heart's given to God. My heart's sanctified for the Lord. So as a result, I'm set aside for the Lord. I'm a witness. So I'm going about all these things, but my heart's sanctified. That's the first part. You just have your heart sanctified for this. Are we prepared for it? We prepare for everything else. You're going to do a driver's test. What do? You take the book, you go through, you study. Why are you studying? I'm preparing. You sometimes get a job. And for the job interview, what do? You study, you prepare. When you go on a job, many times they give you material. What are you doing? You're studying. People spend three to 4 years in college preparing for a vocation, a natural vocation. Folks, that's nothing compared to our spiritual vocation. What is our spiritual vocation? To be a witness. Well, I'm preparing to be an engineer. I'm preparing to be whatever, or I'm interning to be a plumber, whatever. You know, you can go any job description you want. Is our heart not sanctified? Don't we realize? No, your main task, you're a Christian. You've been given a great commission. You're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Are you prepared? Have you put any effort into preparation? Or when the opportunity does come up, you go, oh, well, we're going to get to this in 2 weeks when we balk. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, why don't we know what to say? Because we never prepared. We never took it seriously. We never thought it through. We never sat down. We never practiced. We never gave it any thought. So now I don't do it because I don't feel comfortable doing it. Well, you don't feel comfortable doing anything for the first time. It's only doing it and doing it, you get comfortable doing it. So let's get comfortable doing the things that's the most important thing that we're called to do, and that's to be a witness. So we need to be prepared for this. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now that's our commission. That's what we're to do. We're to go into the world and do this. Now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. What if we were threatened by the government never to be a witness? This is what happened to the disciples in Acts 5 and verse 40. The authorities, it says, when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Now, here was a government that actually said, no matter what you don't mention the name of Jesus. They beat them. Now, what happened if we were living in that society? And after this message, police officer outside says, I don't care what you heard in there. And actually beat you. For what you had, because we heard you witnessed about the name of Jesus yesterday. And don't you ever talk again in the name of Jesus. Now, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, would some of us say, no problem. I didn't witness about him last week, and I'm not going to witness about him this week, so it doesn't really affect me. Is it possible that there are such bad witnesses in the church that if they were threatened never to speak again in the name of Jesus, they'd say, doesn't affect me at all. I don't do it anyway. I mean, we smile about it, but this is a serious matter. And when they returned to their own, I didn't put the verses in. When those disciples returned to their own company, they prayed. And they said, oh God, give us boldness that we'll speak your name. They didn't want to be intimidated. And they were threatened and they were beaten. Now listen what happened after that. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere and kept their mouth closed. They said they went everywhere preaching the word. These are normal, everyday Christians living in this city. The persecution got so terrible that they were dragging them out of their homes, throwing them into prison. Why? Because they witness about Jesus. The persecution got so hot that some of the family said, you know what? We got to get out of town. They left their homes, they left their jobs, they went to the next city. And did they keep their mouth shut? No, it was too good. They told everyone. They preached the word everywhere they went about Jesus. Again, what about us? What if you did what I'm asking you to do this morning meant that tomorrow you might be drug out of your house? And we come next Sunday and a third of us are in prison. And it got so intense that some of you said to me, you know what? I got some family over in Brantford. I got some family in Hamilton. And we're just going to move out of town for a while. Would the people in Hamilton or Brampton hear about Christ? This is how the church spread. It said, with the persecution hit so hard in Jerusalem, they were scattered all over, and wherever the Christians went, they preached the word, and it just spread like wildfire. This is the body we're part of, folks. This is the church you're going to rub shoulders with in heaven. These are the people when we stand before Christ and we tell our stories and they talk about how they had to get out of Jerusalem. They say, how did it happen in Kitchener? Well, we could really say anything we wanted to say. Oh, that was tremendous. How many people did you tell? Well, there was a person. Is it once or twice I shared with someone? I mean, I'm just trying to make it real to us, folks. We are his witnesses. We're it. Good or bad, it's our generation. We're on the stage. We're the Christians that's responsible for our age. It said, go into all the world. Listen, you need to go into your world, your circle of friends. You are the center of your world. Everybody in your world knows you. See, I have a world around me. You have a world around you. You're to go into your world, your circle of friends, your contacts, the people you touch shoulders with. And you are sanctified, and you are prepared, and you are going to, every time I'm doing acts of service, and I'm going to mention his name. Such a simple way and yet powerful way to witness. Everybody can do that. And so if I challenged you today to say, would everyone by the end of this day give mention of the name of Jesus, that you'd reference it somewhere, it'd be so much easier to do than thinking, okay, I've got to go over and start a conversation with someone. I've got to do this and I've got to do that and tell the whole story. It's so much simple if we just have a mindset. It's just going and giving a cup of water in the name of the Lord, but being prepared. Now, I'm just going to do these quickly here. We'll maybe come back to these another message because we really can't get into this much. But I think we need to be prepared for three stories, folks, three stories. The first is their story. Their story. The people that you meet, the people you come in contact, what's their story? What are they going through? What are they facing? What are their difficulties? What are their concerns? When you go into your world, know the stories of the people around you. You have to get close enough to them to know their story. You can't just rub shoulders with someone and not be interested in them and have no contact with them, other just a brushing of shoulders. You've got to be concerned about your world. And maybe not everyone, but the ones that, you get close enough to them that you know their story. You know that their sister has cancer. Or you know that their teenage son is struggling with something. Or you know they're financially suffering and this or that. You get close enough to hear their story. You have to have a heart sanctified for this. You got to let the love of God be in your heart that you're really concerned. You're not fainting interest. You really are interested in them. And so you're loving them. You're caring for them. But you're interested. You hear. Now, I know most of you do that. Some of you have real sympathetic hearts. You could tell me three or four friends of yours, and you could tell me, I know what they're going through. This is what their trouble is. So you need to know their story. And if you're indifferent, then you need to say, wait a minute. Maybe I should talk to my neighbor. Maybe I should get a little closer. You need to build relationships with people that are non-Christians, at least close enough that you can hear their story. Hear their story. And you got to prepare. That's a mindset, to be prepared to do that. The second story you need to be prepared to share. Well, let me just read the verse. James 1:19 says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." That's all you got to do. Just when you're around people, be swift to hear. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're complaining about. Hear what they're concerned about, that they're troubled about. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Here's the second. You need to be prepared for your story. You need to prepare your story. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God has comforted you. If you've eaten at the restaurant, you know there's good food. I was hungry, this met my need. I was thirsty, this is what I found. You know your story. And when you hear their story, you reach into your story and see, is there connection here? Is there something I can share? It may not be exactly the same. They got a family difficulty. I had a family difficulty. Different problems, but you know, they were family problems. You know your story. You share, you know what? I know I went through a time like that. And you mention his name. You tell him about how Christ helped you, comforted you. That's not hard. That's not knocking on the street on a door and someone comes and you say, "Now let me tell you about Jesus." They don't know anything about you. People get saved that way. And so it's not to belittle that. But witnessing is not that alone. Witnessing is to your friends, your world you're in. You hear their story and now you tell them about what comforted you. Have you prepared your story? There's four basic components to this story. You need to tell people what your life was before you came to Christ. What was your life like before you knew Christ? What was your problem areas? Secondly, what brought Christ to your attention at all? I read a book. I heard a neighbor told me something. I heard a song. Whatever. What brought you? I went to Sunday school, so I always knew that there was something about the Lord. You just sort of say, how did the Lord come to your attention during your problem? And then the third thing, what was the moment when you surrendered your life to the Lord or you surrendered your problem to the Lord? You got to talk about the moment of surrender. And the last thing, you share how your life's been different since. See, some of you didn't take notes. Because is this really important? Talking about getting our witness, but you know what? I think I'll remember that. I'm just trying to get it real to us. Are we really intent? Do we really realize I need to be prepared? And so when someone's showing me how to be prepared, then think to yourself, I should jot that down. And I'll do that this afternoon. I'll work out my testimony, my story. And you might do it in different scenarios. How you had a family problem that brought you, Lord. How you had a difficulty in that came. Or somehow in your relationship with the Lord, that happened. This was my life before. See, here's an easy way to remember. My life before, my life after. So my life before, how I heard about Christ, the moment of surrender, and then what my life's been since. And you are prepared. You've thought it through. You've actually gone over it in your mind. So that when someone comes out, you're comfortable in just sharing that. Your story. The last story you need to prepare for is his story. It's their story, your story, now his story, the Lord's story. And the last part of 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When someone says, how did you handle that? How did you go through that? You're ready to give an answer. How come your family seems to be handling that? Or man, that was a difficult time you went through. I would have thought you had been more upset about that. How do you handle that? You're ready to give an answer. And when you talk about the Lord and someone says to you, well, you talk about like you really know him. Like, how do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Wednesday night, there was two young ladies that were out for the first time for the encounter night. And when they came forward, we prayed for them. They had a need. After the meeting, one of those ladies came up to me and said, now, how would I become a Christian? See, am I ready to give an answer? If someone said to you, how would I become a Christian like you? What would you say? Do you have an answer? Are you ready? Are you prepared? You need to be able to share the simplicity of the gospel. And folks, again, you don't have to dot every I and cross every T, because I'm more of an analytical person, and I got to catch myself in those situations as I want to start in Genesis and lead them all the way through, you know. And I realize I don't have to tell them the whole story. They have a felt need here. And I can just tell them that the Lord will answer. You know, and if they're feeling guilt, I can say, you know what, the Lord took the penalty for your sin. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And you can't be good enough. God's standard is perfection, so don't try to be good enough to go to heaven. You just have to be humble enough to receive him. And if you just pray this simple prayer and opening your heart, God will take that step and you can start this walk with him. But see, you got to feel comfortable. You don't have to say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you only don't know what to say if you're not prepared. The Bible says to put on these shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're prepared to share. You realize my heart's sanctified. I know this is my true vocation. This is what it's all about. This is what it is to be a witness. This is what I'm called to. This is what it's about. This is why I'm on this earth. And so I'm sanctified. And I'm ready, and I'm eager, and I'm ready as I go out every morning. I'm in this world, and I'm a witness. I want to be a good witness for Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. I wonder if you could repeat after me. I am a witness. Try it again. I am a witness. Let's say it that way. I'm a good witness. I'm a good witness. Now, some of you couldn't say that. Let's say it this way. I'm going to be a good witness. I'm going to be a good witness. No, really, folks, we are. Oh, I think we've made Satan upset. He says he's made this too simple for them. They might actually go and do this. Oh, I pray that we do. I pray that I do more. And just a little trigger thought, whenever you get a compliment, whenever someone compliments you forever, you know there's no good thing it says but comes from the Lord. So just reference it back to the Lord in some simple, easy way. Not preachy way, not just reference it back. Say, you know what? The Lord's helped me to do that. He's changed my life a lot. That simple seed planted in someone's heart will grow. We're witnesses for the Lord. Oh God, I feel the importance of this moment for my life, for everyone that's standing here. We are your witnesses, Lord, and I pray that we'd be anointed by your Holy Spirit, living in the reality of relationships so that we can share with others and that we'll be ready to share with others our witness. Help us, Lord, over these next few weeks as we focus on this to really drill this deep into our hearts. But may we start this morning and even this afternoon, Lord, that we're just alert if we're going out to a restaurant or whatever, that we'll just be alert to mention his name as the opportunity comes, that we'll reference the Lord in our life. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we...